Well, hey, woo, we made it to November. Yeah, 11th month of the year, all kinds of exciting things going on. You know what that means, right? You know what November means? Yeah, extra hours sleep. Y'all got no excuses for falling asleep today, all right? Myself included. Yeah, you know what that means? It means Thanksgiving's coming. All right, y'all excited for that? Already starting to think about it. So yeah, that's what we thought about 11 months ago or so when we were talking about the sermon series for the year. And it's no accident that this gratitude series is happening this month, obviously. And I want to thank Linwood for coming up with the series and writing this out for us so that we could preach about it and talk about it and grow together through it. And one thing he said, and by the way, you'll find information about this in your bulletins too. There's some sermon notes and stuff like that. And some of what Linwood wrote about the series is in there. And what he says is that when life isn't going your way, one of the best things you can do is look for things that are. Each of us has far more to be thankful for than we realize. And a shift in perspective is all we need to find the silver lining. And this is called gratitude. Gratitude, it's a shift in perspective. But it's a little bit more than that. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about it before. I mean, we're generally thankful people. We don't have a problem being, showing gratitude. But what is it? Like, what is it actually like? What is gratitude? And I've thought about the definition to show appreciation. To show appreciation, like not just to be appreciative, but to show it, to express gratefulness, to actively give thanks, to be thankful. So, God is obviously very passionate about gratitude. In fact, in the Bible, we're going to find this term thankful 71 times. The term thanks 139 times. Gratitude 39 times. The phrase give thanks is found 73 times, and there's over 100 different verses encouraging gratitude amongst God's people. And the word that we actually name our holiday after, Thanksgiving, well, that word is found 28 times in the Bible, the word Thanksgiving. And today we're going to talk about a word that in the Greek means to give thanks. It's the word Eucharisto. Eucharisto. It's used 39 times in the New Testament. And that word might sound familiar to you because in many church traditions, what we just did here a moment ago, the Lord's Supper or communion, is called the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a time when we get together and it's a time of thankful remembrance for the sacrifice of Jesus, for his body and his blood. And speaking of Jesus, we see gratitude, we see thankfulness modeled all through Jesus' ministry and the way he teaches. When he prays, he gives thanks. The Lord's Supper, he gives thanks. When he's teaching, we see this happening. We see it as he interacts with people, the spirit of gratitude. In Luke 17, we see Jesus healing 10 lepers, and they all go off, and guess what? Only one comes back and says, thank you, and Jesus mentions that. Gratitude is important to God, and I think it's important to all of us. And if I think about the things I'm grateful for in my life, right there with the Lord is my wife Lisa. I'm so grateful for her for a million different reasons. One specifically is that she likes to hang signs around our house that remind us of important things. And this hangs above our bedroom door. There is always, always, always something to be thankful for. Any other sign people? Anyone, by the way, yeah. You got this one? All right. It's not for sale. All right. I love this one. All right. Would you agree with this? Yeah. Pretty cool, right? Yep. I think so too. So I'm going to give you a chance to talk about it. All right. Last week we started assembling in micro communities. Hopefully you've gotten to know each other a little bit. So in our sections, what I'd like you to do is find someone or some people to talk to about this very question. What is one thing that you are most grateful for today and why? All right, so take a few minutes, introduce yourself, especially if you don't know one another. We want you to get to know each other. And in your micro communities, go ahead and share this. Talk about this question. What is one thing that you're most grateful for today and why? All right, go ahead and do that right now, and we'll come back in a minute. check. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all can stand up. You've got permission to move around, okay? You can do that. All right. While you're talking, you can take a minute to go ahead and find a Bible. If you have one on your phones or under the chair in front of you, go ahead and grab one of those. Grab yourself a Bible. If you don't know where the book of Philippians is, you can go ahead and share that with your neighbor too. Go ahead and help each other find that book in the Bible, the book of Philippians. It's in the New Testament. Y'all doing great. So one of the best places in the scriptures that we see the concept of gratitude is captured in a book called Philippians. Philippians. Now I want you to go ahead and find it again. If you need some help, go ahead and share that with each other. You can go, hey, where is this thing? It's in the back, right there in the middle of a bunch of other Ians, all right, like Philippians and Ephesians and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you'll find it. And we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians one chapter at a time. Okay, throughout this entire series, that's 4 weeks, there's four chapters, you can do the math. And what it is it's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, and it is full, it is loaded with gratitude. It's loaded with thankfulness and joy. All right, there's a common theme, we'll talk about that. So to set it up for you, I thought it'd be a good idea just to take a look at a few minutes of a video from the Bible Project about the book of Philippians. So take a look at the screen. And watch this, and then we'll come right back and jump in.
Paul's letter to the Philippians. The church in Philippi was the first Jesus community Paul started in Eastern Europe, and that story is told in Acts chapter 16. Philippi was a Roman colony in ancient Macedonia. It was full of retired soldiers, and it was known for its patriotic nationalism. And so there, Paul faced resistance when he was announcing Jesus as the true king of the world. And after Paul moved on from there, those who became followers of Jesus continued to suffer resistance and even persecution, but they remained a vibrant community faithful to the way of Jesus. Paul sent this letter from one of his many imprisonments, and for a very practical reason. The Philippians had sent one of their members, Epaphroditus, to take a financial gift to Paul to support him in prison. And Paul sent back this letter with Epaphroditus to say thank you and to do a whole lot more. The design of this letter doesn't develop one single idea from beginning to end like many of Paul's other letters. Rather, Paul has arranged a series of short, reflective essays or vignettes, and they all revolve around the center of gravity in this letter, which is a poem in chapter 2. It artistically retells the story of the Messiah's incarnation, his life, death, and resurrection, and exaltation. And then in each of these vignettes, Paul will take up key words or ideas from that that poem to show how living as a Christian means seeing your own story as a lived expression of Jesus' story. So Paul opens the letter with a prayer of gratefulness, and he thanks God for the Philippians' generosity, for their faithfulness, and he expresses his confidence that the life-transforming work that God has begun in them will continue into greater and more beautiful expressions of faithfulness and love. And Paul then focuses on their obvious concern at the moment, which is his status in prison. Being in a Roman prison was no picnic, but it paradoxically has turned out for good to advance the good news about Jesus. So all of the Roman guards, the administrators, they all know that Paul's in prison for announcing Jesus as the risen Lord. And his imprisonment, it's inspired confidence in other Christians to talk about Jesus more openly. And Paul's optimistic that he will be released from prison, but it's possible that he could be executed. And as he reflects on it, that actually wouldn't be so bad, because for me, Paul says, life is the Messiah. And so dying would be a gain. For Paul, his life in the present and in the future, it's defined by the life and love of Jesus for him. And so if he's executed, that means he'll be present with Jesus, which would be great for him. And if he's released, well, that would mean he could keep working to start more Jesus communities, which would be better for other people. And so that's what he hopes for. And notice how his train of thought works here. Dying for Jesus is not the true sacrifice for Paul. Rather, it's staying alive to serve others. And so that's Paul's way of participating in the story of Jesus, to suffer in order to love others more than himself. Paul then turns to the Philippians, and he urges them to participate in Jesus' example by taking up this same mindset. He says, your life as citizens should be consistent with the good news about the Messiah. So these Christians in Philippi, they were living in a hotbed of Roman patriotism, but their way of life was to be shaped by another king, Jesus. And that might bring persecution, but they are not to be afraid, because suffering for being associated with Jesus, it's a way of living out the story of Jesus himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And that's just the beginning. There's more to that video, and you encourage to go to the Bible Project as well and check out some of that. And we're going to be in this book again for the next 4 weeks, so I'm going to encourage you to just go deeper on your own. All right, you're not going to get it all on Sunday morning. So I want to challenge you to read Philippians chapter 1 this week, to go through that. We're going to be talking about it today, but then next week we'll move on to 2, so you want to read that. Also, again, we mentioned the Bible Project. There's a study guide available at the Next Step station. Looks like this. You can pick that up or go online at ccw.church and grab it. This is something really good. You can go through with your small group. You can go through with your family. You can do it individually and just start climbing through and journeying through Philippians with us as a family. And we'll be posting things along the way on Facebook, on CCW Sermon Pop and stuff like that, because there's just so much there and we've only got so much time on Sunday mornings. But we are right now going to dive into Philippians chapter 1. All right, so if you got it in your Bibles, it's Philippians 1, and we're only going to cover the first 11 verses today, starting with verse 1. I'm just going to read this to you. It's from Paul and Timothy, who were servants of Christ Jesus. Now get used to hearing that word. Those were Christ Jesus, all right? Because it's all throughout the letter of Philippians. Paul makes, look, you're not going to, this is the most important thing to Paul, is Jesus, all right? So, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons. So, that's the believers, the elders, the deacons, all of them. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a typical first century salutation. A little pastoral flair there. All right, Paul's jumping right in. And in verse 3, I thank my God. Say that with me. I thank my God, yes, in all my remembrance of you. Now, that word thank is the word eucharisto. And notice how Paul starts his prayer. He's not even thanking, he's not being thankful just for the Philippians. He's thanking God for the Philippians. And it's very personal. He's thanking my God. Like, Paul's got this personal relationship, and I think that's encouraging to me. He's thanking my God for them. And all my remembrance of you, he's thankful as he remembers. And just, again, remembering is what Paul is doing. He's thinking about this. He's really remembering the people who are special to him. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. So how is Paul giving thanks? Yep. Well, he's praying, of course. We're going to come back to that. But he's praying with joy. Yeah, you notice that. He's praying with joy. So important to remember. He's going to do that throughout Philippians. This is a key theme. Joyful thankfulness in prayer. Joyful thankfulness in prayer. And then he says, because of your partnership. Now that word partnership, we learned this last week. It's the Greek word koinonia. Josh talked about this when he was quoting Acts 2, 42 through 47. It means the same thing, fellowship, sharing life together deeply. So partnership, that's what he's thanking God for. Their partnership in the gospel. You're probably familiar with the word gospel. You hear it quite a bit, but really think about the context here. Paul is thankful for the gospel and their partnership in it, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus who lived and who died and who rose again so that we could be saved from our sin, so that we could have eternal life. And Paul is going to weave the good news. He's going to weave the gospel of salvation throughout this whole entire letter because the gospel is the key to joyful thankfulness. The gospel. The Philippian Christ followers shared this with him, shared the good news. They shared the gospel from the very first day they met back in Acts 16 until now. So he's thankful, the past, the present. And then he says this, I am sure of this. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Notice the promise. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ. This is referring to the day when Jesus comes back or we meet him face to face in the kingdom of God, and that kingdom becomes an eternal reality. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week in Philippians chapter 2. It's grateful, grateful. Then he goes on, verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. He's thankful for others. He's thankful for the church in Philippi. It's right for him to do this. He feels this way about them. Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Now, maybe you can relate to this, but Paul knew grace. We read the book of Acts. We find out that Paul was a persecutor of Christians, a killer of Christians. And he encountered Jesus. He encountered the risen Messiah. He was baptized into Christ. He was saved by God's grace through his son, forgiven of his sins, and set free to live for Jesus in a way that changed him and changed the world around him and changed the world forever. The grace of Jesus. He's thankful for it. Hopefully you are too. There was one thing that centers me, and I talked about this 3 or 4 times this morning. What are you thankful for? It doesn't take long before I go back to the grace of God and his love for me. And then he goes on, he says, both in my imprisonment, he's in chains, remember that, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. There it is again, the good news. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. Even in prison, Paul is grateful because of the church in Philippi that he loved so much and that loved him. And I hope you can relate to that. And as I said on this stage, I can. What we share together is love and gratefulness. In verse 9, he says, it's my prayer. Again, he's praying. It's my prayer that your love may abound. This word love is agape love. And there's different kinds of love. This is agape, the sacrificial, unconditional love that Christ has for us, which he referred to in the previous verse. This love, agape, may abound. And that word is superabound, like more and more and more and more. Like you can't stop it. It's got superpowers. That's the kind of love that he's talking about. That it may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. Discernment meaning spiritual understanding. Why? So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless in the day of Christ and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. There he is again. To the glory and praise of God. It's a powerful prayer. Paul mentions Christ all throughout this passage because Jesus is inseparable from joyful thankfulness. from gratitude to the glory of God the Father. So when we give thanks to God, just like Paul did. So quick review. What was Paul thankful for? What was he thankful for? Well, first and foremost, he's thankful for, he mentions it right out of the gate, for others. He's grateful for the Philippian Christians, the people. He's grateful for their partnership in the gospel. He's grateful for the good news and the grace of Jesus. He's thankful for their support, for their prayers. He's grateful for their spiritual growth. He mentions their knowledge and their discernment and their fruit. He's thankful for those things. He's grateful for his imprisonment. Did you catch that? He's grateful to be in jail. Does that make any sense, anybody? I mean, but think about this. He's not complaining. He's not complaining about being jailed. He's not even complaining about being jailed unfairly. He's not fussing. He's not fighting with his enemies or the guards. He's not even trying to get out. He doesn't have a get out of jail free card, and he wouldn't even use it if he could because he's making a difference behind bars. And not only that, he's seeing the church around him in Philippi doing the same thing, the advancement of the gospel. He's thankful for that. He's thankful for the mission of Jesus. He's thankful for his salvation, and he's thankful for the complete promises of God, the promise that God will one day have his day and he will have his way, and the day of Jesus will come. He's grateful. And like Paul, we can take that example to be grateful for Jesus. This is where it all starts for us, to be grateful for Jesus, for his people, for his mission, for his promises, and for his future. Gratitude. So how does Paul experience this, and how does he express this gratitude? Well, he writes stuff down. Good thing for that. We have these ancient documents that help us know that. So Paul obviously was doing that, but he also was praying. And I don't think I can overstate that. We say it again and again in here. This is the key. Paul's heart and his eyes, his words are with his Father God. Which honestly makes me wonder, makes me think about me. And I kind of wonder if, you know, maybe spending some time in a cold, dark cell would maybe help my prayer life, increase my gratitude, to be away from the people I love, to have nowhere else to go but to God. Maybe it would do me some good to slow down, to get on my knees, I'd really think about the people that I love, the people that I miss or would miss, that I'm thankful for, that I would be grateful in prayer as I think about God's work, not just in this place, but around the world, for believers who have helped shape my life. We got time. You just start doing this laundry list of things we're grateful for and people we're grateful for. And the people that God's brought into my life that by his grace I've been able to help shape, like Paul and the Philippians, being grateful for their growth, for the people in this room that we get to worship with every single Sunday, even in our differences, to be grateful that we're not all the same. And we might rub each other the wrong way sometimes, and we might not get along. We can be grateful for that too, because we sharpen one another. And we love one another even through it all. To be grateful for our relationships, for the CCW family, past and present and future. That's what Philippians helps teach me, to slow down and be grateful in prayer. That I might say to God, to pray to him and say, thank you. I thank my God. I thank my God for others in all my remembrance of you. I thank God with a promise that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. To God, for others, with a promise. It's a prayer. And it's a prayer of joy, that's joyful, that's sincere, that's heartfelt, that's consistent, that's gospel-driven and Christ-centered all throughout. And Paul, by the way, is just getting started in his letter. I mean, think about this, that this is who Paul was, it's what he did, and it's a great example for us of real, like true, heartfelt gratitude. Great place to start, in prayer, in all circumstances. So as we go through this series, just keep that in mind, gratitude in prayer in all circumstances. This is what Paul is doing. In a few chapters later, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to study this in a couple weeks. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. There's that theme, joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. He says, always. And again, I will say rejoice. He says it twice, just so we'll get the point. And then he says, the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. Is that something to be grateful for? God is here. He's with us. And then he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see, he's marrying those two things again, prayer and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, don't you want the peace of God? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what gratefulness brings to our life. Prayers of consistent, joyful gratitude. It's a theme throughout his letters, throughout his writings, and not just to the church in Philippi. We're going to see this today, but also the believers in other places, like Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, always. Give thanks in all circumstances. You see those things, rejoice, pray, give thanks, always. Like, don't ever let it stop. This is, listen to this, this is the will of God. That we would be grateful, that we'd be thankful, that we'd be people of prayer. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then to the church in Colossae, Colossians 4:2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Yes, being watchful in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. He goes on and on. We see it dozens of times in Paul's letters. We see it in the Corinthians. We see it to the Galatians, to the Ephesians. We see it to people like Timothy and Philemon. All throughout his letters, his gratitude in every single situation, no matter what he or the people that he loved was going through. Gratitude, no matter what. Gratitude, no matter when, no matter where. Always, always be grateful. You know, someone once said that gratitude turns what we have into having enough. And Paul models this. He models this thankful contentment, whether he was rich, whether he was poor, whether he had a little, or whether he had a lot. He models it during jail sentences, under persecution, surviving shipwrecks, struggling with sin, when he's dealing with people, friends and enemies, before the Roman courts and in the church itself. Thankfulness. We see gratefulness in prayer to God for others and with God's promises. And along the way, it just rises to the surface in this gritty, inspiring, life-changing way. Something we all can learn from. And I think we have. See, in the same way, 2,000 years later, God still hears our prayers. He still ignites our hearts, and he still changes our lives through gratitude. It literally shapes our souls. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and you have too. Even in our own family here, it's gratitude that gets us through those hard times. It's gratitude that makes that bonds us together. You know, we've had a crazy last month and here on the Nature Coast, and man, the hurricanes. I tell you, you've been out there. You've got friends and family who have lost everything, everything of material value, and still thankful. It's gratitude that's getting them through. And by the way, it's gratitude that's bringing people to their door to help, because people like to help thankful people. As we think about that, and we think about how sometimes when we don't have what we're used to having, the things we take for granted, and I know I have to reflect on this, man. I just sometimes in my entitled self, and I feel like, man, why isn't my cable just went out? You know, what's going on around here? I got to think, wow, what am I thankful for? If you've ever been on a mission trip, and I would encourage you to do this, don't just, you know, I say travel, don't just jump on a cruise ship and go over to all the rich touristy places. Man, go somewhere and serve God in the places where the poor live, and you'll have a different perspective when you come back. You come back from places like Africa and Jamaica and who knows where, man, they have shaped my life and shaped my soul. I come back and I go, man, I've got hot water. I've got electric. I've got a mattress to sleep on. And not just overseas, but there's places in our town, places in our county. Or if we just reach out and touch people's lives where they live, we'll be a lot more grateful for the things that we have. I've seen it and you've seen it at work. I think about our jobs. You know, some of you need a job right now. Most of you have a job or are thinking about getting a job. Be grateful. I know it might not be the best place to work, but they're actually paying you to show up. Like, that's pretty cool. They're giving you money to show up, and then you get to pay your bills with it. Be grateful. We get to be grateful at home. Man, it might not be the best place to live, but you've got a roof and food on your table and clothes on your back and, you know, and a place to sleep at night. Be grateful. I think about school, man, you think about going to school and you might not say, oh man, but you've got to literally have a place to go and to learn, to set you up for the future. And on campus, you might even have an adult that cares about you and is investing in you. I know I'm so grateful for our teachers and our administrators in this county that invest in our students. So much to be grateful for. I think about our hospital rooms, and you know, and I've mentioned this before, but you walk into a room and you realize that there's a Christ follower in that bed right now that's going through pain, going through illness, and the nurses are flocking to them because they're grateful. They're actually being a great patient, and they're blessing the doctors by saying thank you, and their gratitude just shines out of them no matter what they're going through. Always, always, always something to be grateful for. I think about victory. Man, you know, it's not always like the toughest times. I know the Los Angeles Dodgers, by the way, won the World Series this week, all right? I know, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. But in the celebrations, maybe you noticed, but they are always thanking people, right? I want to thank our fans. I want to thank our organization. I want to thank our moms and our dads and all the people that got us here. And some outwardly even thanking Jesus for the talent that he's given them and be able to bless God with that. Thankfulness, even in the good times and also in the tough times. Times of loss, times of grief. That's why we have celebrations of life and funerals. It's because there's healing when we share gratitude with one another for someone's life. Gratitude truly is a culture changer, whether it's in the room or in the world around us. It's literally a soul shaper. If we allow God to work his way through our souls with gratitude. You know, Zig Ziglar, is a man, by the way, not a nickname. Zig Ziglar is a famous author and motivational speaker. Maybe you've heard of them, and he coined this phrase, and you probably knew this was coming because whenever we talk about gratitude, it's kind of corny, but it sticks with you. The attitude of gratitude. Have you heard that before? Yep. Well, he coined that phrase, and he said this. He said, of all the attitudes that we can acquire, surely the attitude of gratitude is the most important and by far the most life-changing. Because honestly, in a world full of entitlement and ingratitude and negativity, as Christ followers, church, we've got to be the people that say thank you. We need to be the people that cross the street and say thank you to our neighbors. We need to be the people that are thanking our first responders and thanking our veterans and thanking the fact that we get a chance to vote this week, get a chance to say thank you to the people that are serving and living with you. We need to be the people that are making a difference through gratitude, to show appreciation. We can be the one person in the room, the one person in the room that starts and is just contagious with gratitude. Gratitude for Jesus, first and foremost, for salvation, for God's presence, for his people, for his promises, for life that we have in Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. We have so much to be grateful for. Be that person. And I know it's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it seems impossible because we don't feel like it. So if you're like that, and I get like that sometimes, I'm preaching to myself, I just need to stop and take a deep breath. Because gratitude is a choice. It's a choice we make. It's got to be intentional. And if Paul teaches us anything in this passage, it's that it takes time. It takes time away to slow down. It takes thought. It takes words. It takes remembering. It takes practice. We got to practice gratitude. And it takes action, which means we show gratitude. We don't just say it, we do gratitude. And how do we do gratitude? How do we do this? Well, I've reflected on this, you know, kind of all week, and I'm picturing Paul in this prison cell, and I'm thinking, all right, what can I do that reflects what Paul has taught me here in Philippians chapter 1? And here's what I came up with. Get up grateful, catch grateful, and go to bed grateful. Very simple, right? And then repeat. Well, let me explain what this is, all right? So get up grateful. Like, get up grateful every day. Like, every day. Like, before you even get out of bed, before your feet even hit the floor, just examine the fact for a moment that you have breath in your lungs, all right? That you woke up in a bedroom, that you have air conditioning, hopefully blowing on you. Just be thankful even before and say a prayer and say, thank you, God. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I don't know what's ahead of me today, but I'm grateful that I get to live it with you. Get up grateful. Tell God thank you. And I want to be specific about that, about this, all right? This week, I want you to get up Wednesday grateful. Get up Wednesday grateful. No matter what happens in Tuesday night's election, you be grateful, all right? Get up grateful. Get up grateful for the country that we live in, for the freedom that we have, for life, for praying for whoever the president is, for the endless opportunities that we have to advance the gospel in Jesus's name. Be grateful. Be grateful that we have the opportunity to vote. Be grateful that we get to share life with other people in a community that literally pulls together in times of crisis. Man, this is a special, special time in life. Wake up grateful and give God all the glory for it. I want you to pray to your God, just like Paul did, with grateful joy, grateful for Jesus, grateful that he's on his throne, grateful that his kingdom is not of this world, that it goes on forever, and that following Jesus is what matters most in life. Gratefulness, and catch grateful. Catch it. Like, it ain't gonna just come to you. Like, stop and be grateful throughout the day. Slow down and remember, pray. The enemy of gratefulness, grumbling and complaining, it takes just about as much energy to grumble and to complain as it does to stop and say thank you and show gratitude. Be grateful, no matter what, no matter what the day might bring, and thank God for it, which means open your eyes and your heart to the things around you that matter. And go to bed grateful. As you lay down, at night, turn off the screens, turn off the TV. I'm preaching to myself. Turn off the sports, turn off the news. That is not the way to go to bed grateful. Sometimes this makes it worse. And just go through the day and thank God for where you saw him show up, for the blessings that he brought, for the trials that he brought your way, and what you learned from those things. Go to bed grateful. Go to bed grateful. And then repeat every day. If you miss a day, you miss a time, okay. Man, just it takes practice. And you can really reshape your life around it. And I hope that you will. And I help put wheels on this. Just kind of some practical things. There's some ideas that that I found helpful and other people have found helpful that I'm going to adopt. These are some literal, like, physical ways that we can do gratitude. The first one, and I've talked about this before, is a gratitude journal. Okay, how many of you guys journal, by the way? Just anything, something like that. Well, I just want to encourage you to take 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes will change your brain, all right? Number 1, 2, 3, and just list 3 things you're grateful for. That's it. First things that come to your mind, and then give God thanks for those things. Pretty simple. This one's actually large, okay? I don't usually, but this, you know, you just fill up a page, and I'll go back, and I'll be like, oh, wow, look what I was thankful for throughout the month, and it's kind of cool. If you don't have a big notebook like that, just carry a little thing like this around, and just write it down, 1, 2, 3, gratitude journal. Pretty simple, all right? It'll help you out. I hope it does. Grateful journal, gratitude journal. Next thing is gratitude bowl, or gratitude jar, or gratitude box. And this is actually Josh's idea. We were brainstorming, and I thought it was a great idea. It's something we're going to try in our house. We're going to do it here in the office, and also we'll see what happens. But it just looks like this. It's just really simple. This is a gratitude jar, all right? pretty easy and very inexpensive, by the way. This took about 5 minutes to create, and just grab yourself a little jar, put the word gratitude on there, get a pen, a slip of paper. Everyone in your family or your workplace or whatever gets to write down one thing they're thankful for or grateful for, put it in the jar. And before dinner, before breakfast, whatever, before a meeting, you just reach in there and grab one and say, hey, Pam is grateful for Bob, her wonderful, beautiful husband. Let's give thanks for Bob. Lord, we love you. Amen. All right. That's it. Pretty simple, right? Gratitude jar. And by, so I thought it might even be a good idea to do it here during our worship service. So we've actually got a couple in here from first service. There's some pens, some pencils, some slips. You've got paper and pens and pencils with you as well. So, hey, if you want to, anytime, you don't have to. We're not trying to fill up this bucket or anything. Just if God leads you to write down something you're grateful for, come drop it in the bucket. And at any time during the service, worship service this week, next week, whenever, maybe someone from the worship team or a preacher or whatever will just reach in and grab one and we'll give it a try. All right? So gratitude box. Pretty simple, right? Yep. Again, very helpful. I'm looking forward to doing this at our house. A couple weeks from now, November 26th, we're going to have a night of prayer called Practicing Gratitude and Prayer. I want to invite you to that 6:30 up in Building B. There's info in the bulletin about that. And again, read Philippians 1. Just go through it. All right, we just covered 11 verses. You've got 6 days to read one chapter. I would encourage you to read it over and over again. Meditate on it. In fact, I think the best way we can show God gratitude is by taking his word seriously. Just to open your heart and your mind to what God has to say to you. And of course, we pray. I've been saying it all throughout the morning. Prayer is so important. That's why we're going to end today. All right, we're going to end by praying in three different ways. All right, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go back to Philippians 1:9, and we're going to pray this together as a family. That's how we're going to end. So I'm going to ask you to do that. And then second, I would ask you to partner up with somebody. Again, just like in your micro community, just like you did a moment ago, but instead of talking together, I'd like you to say a brief prayer together. Just, God, I want to thank you for this. Amen. All right, just find somebody around you, and we're going to have a time of prayer together in our micro communities. And then after that, the team is going to lead us in a song of prayer called Gratitude. And I think it'll all make sense in just a couple minutes. So let's, if you're able to, you don't have to, but if you're able, let's go ahead and stand together and let's pray this prayer together, Philippians 1:9. Say it with me. Father, we pray that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment so that we may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. With all glory and praise to you, O God. Amen. Amen. Now go ahead and find someone around you. Just say a brief word of prayer of thanks to God for whatever's on your heart, and then we'll sing together.